and welcome back to 10 out of 10 with Watch Again with Lauren and Russ.
Hello.
This week we gave Instagram the choice between Die Hard and Home Alone, and they chose 1990s classic Home Alone.
They sure did.
If you're not already following us on Instagram, head on over. It's at 10.10WWA and take part in our polls. Keep up to date with all the good stuff. I'm trying to write some puns over there and yous are not appreciating the puns, people. Anyway, Ross, take it away.
And so, as you said, this was released November 1990, directed by Chris Columbus, starring Macaulay Culkin, Joe Pesci, Catherine O'Hara, Daniel Stern, John Heard, and a special shout-out to John Candy.
Yeah.
On a budget of $18 million and a box office of $476 million.
Kyoto. Absolute heel toe. General overview of the movie. After a family argument, an 8-year-old boy is forgotten in the attic and defends his home against criminals while his family enjoy a holiday.
Would they say after the argument? You make it as if they've just left him because they've argued.
Well,
I mean, as close as you're going to get to it, I suppose.
Right.
Aye, no, you're right. You know what? Fuck him, you're right.
Why do you love this film?
As a Christmas movie, like, this has that a certain charm to it. And, like, this is a movie that appeals to, like, any age. Like, you can, like, feel the real spirit of Christmas in that if you're into it.
Totally.
Then it's like, but then obviously all the daft stuff that happens is for kids and that. It just, it works for all ages and it's a classic. Like, it's a, every Christmas, if you don't watch this and you're not doing Christmas.
Yeah, totally. I think, like you say, obviously there's bits in this for all ages, but I think this is another, and I think that's the test of a true great Christmas movie, is that you can still watch it. You like, because we've watched this movie since we were kids, obviously you watch it every Christmas growing up, and it's like, it's still good, even though like your tastes have like evolved and changed and you've matured and la la la, but it's still good, it's still enjoyable, like, and it's funny as well watching this with kids. Like, my niece, this is her favourite one. And the evil laugh that comes out of her when the traps come out, I'm like, you better not be getting any ideas, Chief. We'll dive straight into thoughts and opinions. So, obviously, you've said it was directed by Chris Columbus. It was also produced by John Hughes.
Yeah.
And when I was going through stuff for Useless Information, there was loads of stuff of, like, that people really thought this movie was going to be a flop. And I'm like, with John Hughes behind the production and Chris Columbus, like, there's no way, like if you take the cast out of it, like, obviously, John Hughes, obviously famous for Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Out, Day Out, Day Off. Well, he does go out, right?
It's a day out, I know, I'll give
it's
you that.
It's a day out. Planes, Trains, Automobiles, Pretty in Pink, Uncle Buck, basically the best of the 80s, like, movies. I was going to, obviously did 16 Candles, but I'm not including 16 Candles because that one has not aged well and two is shite. Chris Columbus, obviously famous for this, Mrs. Doubtfire, first two Harry Potter movies. And I just feel like with both of them together, there is just that magic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because whether or not, however you feel about Harry Potter these days, the first Harry Potter movie just really captures that magic. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you can go back and watch the first one and you feel the same way as an adult as you did when you were a kid watching it. Do you know what I mean? Taking out certain authors' political and horrendous views
out of the picture.
Do you know what I mean? But I think, like, the two of them just work magic. Do you know what I mean? So it really baffled me, like, when I was reading all this stuff and people were like, oh, it's going to be a flop, because the two of them together, like, it's just it gives you that rare toasty feeling, you know?
Yeah. I think it's probably more that it was a big Christmas movie and it's been led by a kid.
Yep.
Like, there could be doubts that he won't be able to pull this off.
Yeah.
How many kids were in, like, $18 million budget movies as the lead? Like,
totally.
He's the main man in it, do you know what I mean?
Totally.
And I think what works is, Chris Columbus obviously knows how to work with children and how to get the best out of them to make these things.
Yeah, of course. I think, like, Macaulay Culkin, obviously, before this, he'd been in Uncle Buck, was in Jacob's Ladder, I've never seen. Uncle Buck was a John Hughes thing too, which is probably how he got the whole Home Alone part.
Why he got cast in it,
But this is, like, honestly, like, when you go back through Macaulay Culkin's IMDb, it was all, like, episodes of kids shows or, like, TV movies and stuff. And then after Home Alone, you've got My Girl 1 and 2, Home Alone 2, obviously, The Good Son, where him and Elijah Wood.
Fucking class
totally,
movie.
Totally, man. Macaulay Culkin, what a wee bastard. Yeah. And then, like, his role just goes from there. Remember The Pagemaster?
Oh, the cartoon? We watched that not long ago. That's a phenomenal,
so
phenomenal
good,
movie.
So underrated, man. Yeah. So underrated. Then, obviously, like, he's in Richie Rich and all this kind of thing. But, like, Macaulay, right, dominated the 90s and early 2000s.
Like he was the kid actor.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, there's probably not many kid actors that have had a better run than that.
Absolutely not. I mean, absolutely not.
I might put that as the number one run for a kid actor. Yeah, like, easy.
100%.
For Pagemaster alone, that's a fucking shout, man.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, that's getting done. Like, that has to be done on this podcast.
Right, okay, I'm
that's
in.
A fucking quality movie.
I'm in. But, like, Macaulay Culkin had this real, like, natural charm to him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you know how, like, some kid movies you watch, and, like, you can tell that kid is like, and my blocking is here, and 3, 2, 1, I'll say my line. Whereas, like, Macaulay Culkin's just get this right natural, like, you believe him, do you know what I mean? Like, and he has a big ham, but you're like, I can't no bother.
But that's it. I mean, his performance in this, I mean, 10 years old he was when this was made.
Mm-hmm.
And he delivered a performance. It was like, it was, you say, very natural for a kid, but you were, like, you were captivated by him, you were...
He's in the whole movie. Yeah. Like, for a 10-year-old kid to not just be the star of your movie, to lead an entire film, like, there's genuinely... I mean, I don't know the number for a fact, but I'm going to say out of this hour 45 movie, there's, like, 15 minutes that he's not in.
Yeah, that you're probably right there, right?
Like, he leads this film. You need to really like him to care, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, you need to be in on him for this.
100%.
So even how we can, like, bring out all the different emotions he's got, and, like, you, it's believable.
Yep.
And for somebody to be able to do that at 10 years old,
yep,
like, that's insane. And I think it's good, what they've done good with him is like, they kept...
What they've done good.
They done good with him.
They done good.
Like, what they done well... is that they kept him, like, very childlike.
Yes, yes.
And it's like, even Bitcher is, like, scared of the old man, his neighbour and all that. And
scared
it,
of the boiler and
all
that.
Yeah, and it's like, that's believable for a kid.
Oh, everybody had something like that. Like, if it wasn't in your house, it was in somebody you knew's house, there was something that freaked you out. Like,
but it was always, like, you'd hear stories about, wherever you grew up, oh, this person done this, that place is this, all this bad stuff happened here.
Yeah.
Not rubbish, but as a kid, you can really buy into that and be like, oh, shit.
It's like the urban legends of your bit,
you
know?
Like, there was always somebody, oh, there's a mad case that lives there, or I seen them do this. I mean, majority's rubbish.
Yeah, don't go there, the bad boys play there and all that, but really, nobody probably played there.
You go to a bit of, oh, that's where all the bigger boys that go fighting, is it? No, they don't, but cool.
Because, I mean, we never had a... rumour about a serial killer gritter, but, like,
yeah,
there was always, like, oh, don't go by his, but he, like, chases you and all that. And it's like, and you never saw any of this go down, but as a kid, you were like, 100%, mate, 100%, like, I will never go down there.
Even the way, like, he interacts with the adults that are in this film is just, like, you don't really see that a lot. Like, nowadays, I think kids are too much actors. Like,
actors.
They have to give a performance, or is it? No, if you need them to be a kid, just let them be a kid.
100%.
Like, you don't need all this training and that. Like, obviously, I mean, it works for a lot.
When you're older, I think, for kid actors. God, how many rants have we had about, like, kid actors on this pod? But, like, I think when you're older, like, again, I'm going to use Harry Potter as the example, right? Because Chris Columbus did the first two, right? Now, the first two movies, you can tell the kids are young, right?
Yeah.
Like, older than Macaulay Culkin in this movie, but young, but there's no kind of try-hard bit in it, you know what I mean? Like, you can tell, like, they're purely, that's my lane. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, when Tom Felton comes out and he's like, I can help you with that. It's like, get doing, do you know what I mean? But then it's like, as it goes on, obviously, they're like teenagers, but I think they're like okay, cool, we need to go acting out. And yeah. I think that's why the later Harry Potter movies suffer, because trying too hard, you know? Like, they're really trying to have this dramatic acting range that they didn't have at the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's the thing, is like picking child actors for long franchises like that, like either good at 11, but then when they get to like 16, 17 and they're really trying to act their wee socks off, and it's like, you not good.
Like, I wonder if it's more because being 10, mm-hmm. like the age because it was, he doesn't have any expectation of, right, oh shit, I'm carrying a movie here.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was a choice by, like, Chris Columbus, and that'd be like, maybe, obviously, Joe Pesci, they know what's at stake.
Yep.
But as with him, they're just like, look, you just do what you want.
Yeah.
Like, you can't put that sort of dress on, especially you're saying with Harry Potter, like that. I mean, I think it was always going to be a success.
Yeah, of course.
Given the, basically, the UK was run on Harry Potter for X amount of years.
Still kind of going, like.
So, but, like, you can't say to these little kids, like, you need to carry these.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, you're just going to freak them out.
Yeah. Well, from what I read, I'll just say this bit now, for useless information, like, they kept that set so relaxed. Like, basically, they always had things on the back burner of that if they couldn't shoot with Macaulay, they could go shoot something else.
Yeah.
So, like, they would do scenes with Macaulay, and Macaulay would just be like, I'm really tired now, guys, and just go for a nap. And they'd be like, no worries.
Yeah.
And then they'd go film something else, let Macaulay have a kip and all that. And, like, it just sounds very relaxed and based around, when Macaulay's ready, let's go. Do you know what I mean?
You would have to. Like, you can't. Not like where it was back then. Like, I say
like
back
Jody
then.
Foster times, yeah.
I say, like, in the, even the like 50s, the 70s, that, and it's like, give him a wee pill.
Aye.
So, right, you'll feel better now. And as it's, you have to be able to, you have to do that now. Like, there's no way you could get away with it.
The stories I read, like, for useless information, is just like how relaxed it was. Like, and there was like comments from Joe Pesci on also how like professional Macaulay Culkin was. Like, Joe Pesci said in an interview, like, he's not a 10-year-old kid, he's an old man. Like,
oh yeah, but
he was always like the first one showing up to set. He would like correct them on who got their lines wrong and all this kind of stuff. But then I like that he's like as prepared and professional as a 10-year-old can be, but then is also given the space to be like, I'm really tired, guys. Like, I need a minute. And then they would just let him go take a nap, like, and they'd go and film, like, exterior shots or something else.
I mean, it's the only way you're going to get the best out of him.
Totally.
And if you're expecting him to do this movie, then you're going to need to.
Totally, yeah. And, yeah, like, I know movies obviously need to run to, like, a schedule and all that, but if there's ways of what it sounds like, how this film is made, if there's ways to kind of manipulate that schedule so that you're still giving your child actor space to be a child, you know, then wire in.
Oh, definitely. I mean, going on about Joe Pesci, like the supporting cast in this, if you will, it's only really Joe Pesci and Marv that I like in this.
Yeah.
Like, the rest of them, like Catherine O'Hara and that, like, she's great, she's funny, a good, like, comic actress, but I just don't feel it in it with this
really?
Movie. I think it's too over the top.
I get you.
The other one, like the dad and all that, is just, I mean, he's practically non-existent in this film.
He's so nonplussed this whole movie, but we'll get into that.
Because it's like Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, who obviously play
Marvin
Harry. Aye, like the wet bandit, or sticky wet bandits,
depends on what movie you watch.
Yeah, like like when it comes time for their bit, like they really bring it. Like, see the whole, like, the slapstick comedy,
so
and like, how
funny, man.
How good they two are together. Because I was thinking about it as we were watching this, and it's like, there's not many good, like, I've been trying to think of like other double act criminals.
Yeah,
but the only ones that really pop up in my head's like 101 Dalmatians.
Oh yeah, Jasper and, oh, I can't remember the other guys. Yeah, name, but
but
totally, like, get what you mean.
They get that good comedy act together.
Yeah.
And especially for Joe Pesci, like, this is such a rarity for him to be in something like this.
Well, this is, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, correct me if you were watching Joe Pesci movies before this, but, like, this was our, and this is probably a lot of people's first introduction to Joe Pesci, if you know what I mean. Like, this was the first time I'd ever seen him, and it wasn't until we watched Goodfellas and Casino and Raging Bull and all that, like,
yeah.
that I was like, oh, holy shit, like, Joe Pesci's, like, a big deal, you know what I mean? Like, I think that shows, like, obviously how good this performance is, but also, like, it is mad because this is every kid's start off with Joe Pesci to then go back and watch, like, Goodfellas and Raging Bull. You're like, holy shit, do you know what I mean? And even the Irishman, like...
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He was also known for playing gangsters and, like tough guys.
Totally.
But it's like, you say Raging Bull, Goodfellas, which was released in September that year.
Really?
So you, obviously a kid wouldn't have, but you as an adult could have went and seen Goodfellas in September.
And then took your kids to see Home Alone. Yeah.
2 months later, that's when insane. It's Christmas time, Joe Pesci's playing this. He's a buffoon. Like he's an idiot in it. Like, it's some choice by the big man. Totally. Like, it's some choice.
Totally.
And as I said, like, the with the humour and the slapstick comedy and that they put in, it's just... It's fantastic.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It's so cartoonish. It's so stupid. But every part of it's funny. My only issue with it is that there's not enough of it. Because watching this back, I was like, God, you only get like 10, 15 minutes of them in the house.
And it's such a big part of, like, when anybody talks about Home Alone, that's the part you talk about. Do you know what I mean?
It's executed perfectly, beautifully, but... When I was watching, I was like, right, it starts now, and I was like, we're in hour 13 out of this.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's crazy to me.
Like, we've only got like half an hour left of the film. Yeah.
Because this is like a two-act movie. Like, you have him, like the comedy of him where it's like, oh, he's running the house and that. Like, ha-ha, he's been an adult. But then when you get that, I was like, God, I thought this was longer.
Yeah.
I thought most of the movie was them trying to get into the house.
Totally, totally. I was the same as you. I think they add more in the second one. Like, I'm a fool. There is only Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2. Like, I'm not fucking with the other ones. Do you know what I mean? I think there's like 5, but Home Alone 1 and 2 is where it's at. But I think they make up for, because obviously this movie's great and fabulous and should never be changed. But they do add in a lot more slapsticky traps in the second one, even in like the shop. I can't remember what the name of the shop that they're in. I've not seen the second one for years, but and then obviously like he turns a whole abandoned brownstone flat into like his thing of nightmares.
The thing with sequels, it has to get bigger.
Yeah, totally. Home Alone 2, I think, is another kind of rare one where like the sequel. See, for all, it's basically the same. Like, he gets a bat, like, or he runs away in the airport or something, and
he gets on the wrong flight.
That's it. They all go to Florida, and he goes to New York.
Yeah.
And he cuts about and lives his good life and blah blah blah. And it's basically the same because they're not the wet bandits, they're the sticky bandits. But it's still good. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if we could just edit out the Donald Trump cameo, perfect. You know,
I'd be ideal.
Two great movies basically following the same premise, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, I know we gave Big John Williams the biggest of shout-outs during the Jurassic Park one, but Trey Magnifique, my man, do you know what I mean?
Like, he just nails it every time.
Every time. And like, all, like, the whole Home Alone soundtrack is just Christmas in a bottle, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
Like, there's like 3 or 4 themes or songs in it that pop up on Christmas adverts, they get played at Christmas markets, and you're like, yep, 100%, like, this is it.
He's just the master of, like, making a hook, and that's just, like, the underlying thing through the whole movie.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
Jurassic Park has it, fucking Star Wars,
Harry Potter,
is it? He's good at just finding that little bit, and is it, oh, you fucker, you've done it again. How fucking dare you, man?
Big Williams knocked out of the park again.
Like, see if I had a tenth of his talent. Oh, believe
you
me, man. Like, you hoes are stunted, man. Like, honestly.
When I get a tenth of his talent, it's over for you.
There'll be no more podcasts, I can assure you. It's just...
No, not even that. The podcast will just be 40 times better.
I just don't... It's no fair. It's just no fair how people can have that sort of talent.
Yeah,
and bastards. Just, you'd be able to have an ear for, like... Oh, that's it. Like, we're doing a Christmas movie about a kid. Is it? Like, fucking, they've got that written.
No danger. That 100%.
One about dinosaurs. I hear. Nailed
say
it.
Say less, mate.
Aye. Like, it's just.
This one's set in space. Say less strips.
It must be so good being John Williams.
Oh, totally. For all, I know we've just gave John Williams 5 minutes of love, but I want to give 5 minutes of love for the McAllister house. Like, see that house. That is just a Christmas card house. It's beautiful. It's huge. yes, the wallpaper needs fixed, but like, it looks great. The only thing is, what the fuck is going on in that basement, right? Like, when Kevin goes down to the basement, right, obviously you've got the big terrifying boiler, you've got your usual things that you would find in basements. I don't know, I've never had a basement. But, like, you've got, like, your washing stuff, washing machine, dryer, da-da-da. Yeah. And then there's, like, five or six, like, broken mannequins. And, like, honestly, next time you watch this movie, pause the basement. There's some fucking weird things going on in that basement, by the way.
Does it ever tell you what they do?
I don't think so.
Because how many of the siblings is his actual brothers in that? Is there four?
Buzz. He's got a sister. The blonde one. See the blonde?
Is the blonde one hers?
I think that's his sister as well. The one that goes, you are what the French call les incompetents. She's his sister. Buzz is the brother. But I don't actually know if the rest are cousins or not. Do you know what I mean?
It doesn't really say, does it?
No. I was genuinely going to slag the size of this family, right? Because there's fucking hundreds of them, right? And also, like you say, we never find out what the mum and dad do, and yet they can afford, like, Christmas trips to Paris and Florida.
Why not? They're paying for everybody.
Everybody to go. That huge, cracking house. £120 for a pizza order. And I was going to slag how many of them there were and just be like, fuck that, man. That is far too many people in one house. And then it was only as we were watching, I was like, God, Ross's family's probably bigger than that, mate.
We're the Clampets and all.
Aye, the McAllister slash McBain's are fucking on. Oh, you're McAllister. But we're McAllister now.
Yeah,
that's, there you go. It's all fucking making sense. It all comes back to Home Alone.
Not but even like, that. They afford airport shuttles and all that. And I'm like,
mate, fuck up.
You're a heavy, dodgy guy.
100%. 100%. No, like when I was watching it, I was sitting there and I was like, that is just too many people and pure stressful. And then it was only about 10 minutes in. I was like, God, this is like every family party at Rossi's. But your family parties are never pure stressful, but I wonder if, like, because obviously we're just watching this movie about them and they're all running about like mad. I was like, oh no, that's pure melting me down. But then when I go to a family party of yours and there's hundreds of them, I'm like, oh, this is great.
I don't know if you want to leave this for A, but as you've just went on about the family, is how shitty does Macaulay Culkin get treated in this?
Oh, my God. No, we're doing it now. We're doing it now, right?
Because it's an A, but it's also, I have a lot of thoughts and opinions on this shit.
100%, right. So, for one, he gets bammed up an absolute belter, and he doesn't even do anything. Like, he goes in his mum's room looking for something. She's on the phone. She's like, piss off.
Yeah.
He gets kicked out of there. He's through because he's like, I want to watch that film, and Uncle Frank says no. Uncle Frank's a straight prick.
Oh, Uncle Frank is an asshole.
100%. Then, like, he's obviously a fussy eater, is our Kev. He's like, I just wanted to play.
He's maybe 8. Do you know what I mean? Of course he's a fussy eater.
As an 8, what 8-year-old wants sausage and olives on their pizza? He's like, I just want a plain cheese pizza. And the bastards all eat his cheese pizza? I'd go off my nut, I know.
Aye, who's putting olives on a pizza?
Fucking people do, man. People do. I don't mind.
That Uncle Frank?
Aye.
Fucking arsehole.
Prick. But then, like, even, like, Buzz is the one pure antagonizing in that. All his cousins are pure dicks to him. And, like, also, I don't know if this comes... Actually, no, I'll save this point for the next point. Also, then, when they sleep in, obviously, it's not their fault they sleep in like that. Is it a tree falls on the line or whatever? Like, the telephone poles? Knocks out their power. So they sleep in, and then she goes to the oldest... I don't know if this is the oldest cousin or sister or whatever. Go and count heads. Why are you leaving everything, like, as an adult, why are you leaving everything to kids? Do you know what I mean? Like, and then when they finally figure out the fucking left Kevin, she is a total Karen. Like, I understand you've left your Wayne, that's a pure sin, right? But she is, like, pure screaming at everybody for her fuck up. Like, do you know that way? I'm like, you sort your kids, you get Uncle Frank and whoever the fuck his missus is to fix their kids.
Yeah, you say to Frank, get your own kids.
Yeah, like, if you have a family that big, herd your own tribe, you know? And, like, she's, like, shouting all the airport staff, being like, no, you need to get me a ticket, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, the woman goes in front and she's like, oh, that's nice, you've got a ticket, go home. And it's like, not everybody's going to fix your fuck up.
This is,
like,
all your responsibility.
100%, yeah. Like, 101 of being a maw. Make sure your kid is safe and alive. Yep. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like the one rule. One fucking rule.
Like, you can tell they don't like Kevin. They might say different, but even because
he didn't even do anything.
Yeah, even after all that, right? Mm-hmm. You have the ending when like shock horror. They come home.
Yeah.
Well, she comes home first. Then they just come in. Aye. And it's just a hug. Right? Then they all fuck off. They all scatter a bit. And they're like, oh, good to see you're all right. And is it? You've left your kid for
3 days.
3 days. An 8-year-old kid for 3 days.
And then when he's like, when she's like, oh, when he go to shop and get milk, he's like, oh, I got milk, eggs, and fabric softener. And they're like, good for you, wee man. Aye. And then they all piss off. It's like, you're not going to say, well done. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
you're not going to check he's okay.
Yeah.
Like, check the house.
Yeah. Make sure. Yeah. Like, because there's a couple of times in this movie we'll get into later on. He takes some clatters. Like, minimum concussion.
Oh, he takes a fucking battering,
do you know what I mean? But no, the parents, the family in this is just fucking shocking. Like, yeah. I'm not going to be like, oh, the big brothers and sisters are dicks. Like, I understand, obviously, if you've got a big family.
Sibling things, though, like, they're going to be assholes, but the parents are meant to be there, like, right, wrap it.
100%, 100%. And it's like, I understand, obviously, like, if you're a busy parent, you're going to go to, like, the oldest cousin or kid and be like, going to, like, give them, like, a small task, you know? Yeah. Just be like, don't be like, leave the fact that we've not left any wains in one of their hands, do you know what I mean?
Why
like,
not,
be like, going to make sure all the bags are done or something, do you know what I mean?
Why not say to the oldest one, check every room, make sure we've got every kid?
Yeah, while I'm running about trying to get ready. Yeah, 100%.
Because even when they do the head count, and the reason they count him in is because the little boy, see when she's, like, doing it, like, I'll see you later, I'm away home. But, like, hold on, that's no Kevin.
Aye, wait a minute.
Like, why is he gone there? Is it, you're meant to come with us, is it? Oh, fuck, that's no him.
Yeah.
I think secretly they just, nah, we don't want Kevin there, fuck him.
Because see, even the thing as well, is, like, now again, if you'd left your 8-year-old at home for 3 days, right, you'd be giving it all the, oh my God, you can have literally whatever you want for dinner, like, I am so sorry, blah, 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 blah. But then when he gets to Home Alone 2, they're all back to being dicks to him. And it's like, have you not learned? Like, do you know what I mean? And then she goes at him in Home Alone 2 at the start, they're at the Christmas choir. His brother takes piss out of him during his solo, so he punches his brother, and they're pure like, Kevin!
Yeah.
Like, this boy was provoked, you know? Like,
hey, it's not even that. It's when he gets sent up to the third floor.
Tell them, Ross, right? Tell them.
Then she comes swanning up, being like, this is how you went, went missing or something last time?
Something like, oh, if memory serves, like, this is what happened last year, and it's like,
you abandoned him, like,
don't even mention it, do you know what I mean?
Like, see when, like, obviously, as you said, he punches his bra, then all hell ensues the nativity, whatever, the play, whatever it is, they're doing at Christmas. A lot of shite, right? But he does that, then he's like, they do like a family court type thing where it's like, oh, I'm sorry, yada yada.
Yep.
Then they're like, you're sorry, is it? Oh no, remember you abandoned me last year? And he's like, yeah, fuck yous. Like, 100%. And see if I don't get everything I want for Christmas, yous are fucked.
Like,
we phone call social services?
Absolutely. I better be expecting PlayStation 5's Big Mac.
That's it, aye. Is it, what do you need two for? In case I don't like that one. Just say it.
It's the fact of, like, in the second time she goes up and she's like, if memory serves, this is what happened last year. Why are you bringing that up?
Yeah,
you bringing up the time that you were a terrible fucking parent?
This is
and
all
abandoned
one, huh?
Your wing, do you know what I mean?
And it gets worse, this one.
Yes.
Like, and the second one, sorry, because they don't know where the fuck he is.
Yeah.
Once he gets
could
on
be
that,
literally anywhere in the fucking country. Yeah.
And if it was there for the fucking credit card bill,
that
is it?
That's it.
And is it, oh, yous are so, like, he should be, your kid should be taken off
100%.
You.
And even, remember at the end of the second one, because he stays in the Ritz, isn't it? The
Plaza.
Ritz, Plaza, thank you. And then at the end of the second one, his dad's like, Kevin, look at this room service bill, and it's like, and you will fucking pay that, big man. You will fucking pay that.
Yeah, like, if you don't, like, you are going to jail or we are getting taken off you.
100%. And the da is the most nonchalant da ever. Yeah. Like, he's not
like,
fucked.
What is
all
it with that stupid half smile all the way through the movie?
Yeah.
Is it, mate, you have left your kid? Like,
yeah.
I don't think. No, maybe the 1990 was just a different time, but if you left an 8-year-old and you're flying to Paris.
Aye.
Like, you shouldn't be so chill.
Nah, absolutely. Aye, because when the mum goes she's like, right, I'm going to stay in the airport and try and get a flight. They all fuck off and enjoy the holiday. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't care. Like, obviously they do come home, but they've still went and enjoyed a day.
Yeah.
And like,
so when he says it, basically, don't worry about it. Is it, don't worry, your kid. Oh, don't,
no,
man.
No, I know. His Uncle Frank as well is such a prick to him. Do you know what I mean? Like, see, even as well, like, when they're on the plane and they figure out Kevin's not there, and he's like, ugh, don't worry about it. Ugh, you'll be fine. And then it's like, you can tell he's pure annoyed because, like, he just wants to go and enjoy his holiday. Yeah. And it's like, right, you and your missus and all your wains, you just go and enjoy your holiday. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, fuck off. Frank is a total arsehole.
That's the thing. If it's to believe that Kevin's dad's paid for all this,
yeah,
like, obviously Frank's brother,
yeah,
and he's acting like, and he calls him a jerk, like, see,
mate.
See, if my wain, someday I'd be like, oh, you'd leather them. Like, oh, nah, you'd leather fuck at them.
That's the thing.
Like,
is
who,
like,
are you talking to?
It's not even like, do you know what I mean? Like, the juice gets spilt everywhere and all that, and he's like, look what you did, you little jerk. And it's like,
aye,
you're talking to an 8-year-old. Like, who the fuck are you talking to? Yeah. No, hands down. I fuck Kevin's family. They're all arseholes.
Yeah, they're not good people. None of them whatsoever.
Nah. Kevin is like the most resourceful 8-year-old ever, though. Like, see, when he wakes up and clocks he's on his own, he obviously does his usual, like, as any kid would do, where he has, like, ice cream for breakfast, yeah, and runs about his mum and dad's room and jumps on all the beds and la la la, all the good stuff, watches movies you shouldn't be watching. That's, like, standard an 8-year-old left on their own's part, yeah, yeah, right? But then, like, even when he goes to the pharmacy and, like, buys a toothbrush and, like, has the brain to ask, is this signed off by the American dentistry thing? Like, yeah, what 8-year-old's thinking about that? And then even when he goes to the shop and, like, gets his, like, coupon, he's got his coupons and everything.
Yeah,
like,
he knows there's a coupon for it.
What 8-year-old is like, oh, I know what I'm doing, do you know what I mean? Like, and that's just him playing grown up at the start, never mind how his wee brain works to try and think up all these mad traps for the wet bandits.
He's resourceful at the shop, man, but then as soon as the traps are out, come out, like, that's evil genius stuff.
100%.
That's heavy jigsaw part.
Aye, 100%. No, Kevin's pure fine. Like, I wonder if that's why Frank was in that arse that Kevin was left to sell, because they're like, don't fucking worry about it. Like, a sweet guy's pure fine.
Nah, he just wanted to go on holiday.
A free holiday. What I love as well is, obviously, earlier on you were talking about the Wet Bandits and how they were, like, just a really good, like, duo. Like, they totally are, but they're so fucking incompetent.
Oh,
which makes it even better, do you know what I mean? Like, never mind the fact that they get outwitted by an 8-year-old. Like, it's the first house they burgle, and, like, obviously the people in the house aren't there, but it doesn't mean their neighbours aren't, and he's, like, smashing everything up, and, like, oh, what a dick, man. Yeah, like, even the way they get, like, outwitted by the dancing cardboard boxes, not the cardboard boxes, cardboard cutouts of, like, Michael Jordan and all that, and then when the telly's on, it's like, keep the change, a filthy animal and all that, like
yeah, that,
snakes, some guy called snakes.
It's like the best bit. I mean, the show's done the second one, I know,
yeah,
where he's, is it the wee valet doing that?
Yeah.
No, that's hilarious.
Totally.
Oh, so good, man.
See, when he starts building his battle plans and, like, setting up all the traps, right? I just want to know how he thought of, like, half this stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you've got the simple things, like cars at the bottom of the stairs, the Christmas decorations at the window, all that kind of stuff. To be honest, at 8, I wouldn't have thought about pouring water down the stairs to make it go icy, you know?
No, you wouldn't.
But then you've got, like, the straight-up barbaric ones of, like, hitting them with irons and, like, nails in the fucking stairs and, like, the super glue on this saran wrap so that he gets hit. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, some of them are just funny and childish, and other ones, it's like, Kevin, my man. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
like,
they should be dead.
This is Yeah, yes. I'm sure there's a YouTube video. I don't know who does it, or else I'd totally give them a shout out. But we watched it years ago. Remember they did Home Alone and they did Die Hard, and it was like how many times
how
they would die.
Yeah,
and I'm sure, like,
the injuries they would receive.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, the Home Alone, like, this, the Wet Bandits should have died, like, 9 times. Like, Marv gets, like, his back shattered from, like, flying down. Like, Harry gets, like, 3rd degree burns to his when he keeps putting his head in the snow. See, by the whole end of the movie, when the traps are coming in and all that, I just put my phone down. I was buckled. And it's still funny when you're a kid to when you're a grown-up. Like, yeah. And it's like you say, obviously, it's like the slapstick element and all this kind of thing. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's good.
And like you say, for it only to be 10, 15 minutes of the movie. Do you know
what
I mean?
It's not much.
20 minutes at push.
Yeah, it's crazy how they must have planned that out, like, meticulously to... For such a small bit as the, and it's the main point in the movie.
It's the most iconic bit. Yeah,
I suppose it has to be done very well if it's the whole point of your film. But it's just a shock to me because even watching, I was like, but this is over rapid.
Totally, totally.
Based on the first one, anyway.
Also, Kevin cleans up fucking rapid because, like, his family come back like the next morning. And there's no evidence apart from when his dad stands on the gold tooth.
Yeah, it's a tooth,
of
yeah.
that anything's happened, you know? Well, not like, it's funny, like, obviously, like, at the start when he's eating his ice cream in the kitchen's a tip and all that, and yet he just proper, like, cleans everything up immaculate, do you know what I mean? The only thing that he doesn't clean up, obviously, is Buzz's room, but that's a point I meant to make earlier on, but I'll chuck it in here, right? Now, obviously, Kevin's been left alone, and there's the part where he climbs up Buzz's shelf to try and get his box of money, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the clatter, when those shelves fall, and Kevin is underneath all of the shelves...
He's dead.
That's like... Broken ankle, broken arm, concussion, all sorts, do you know what I mean? Back. Like, never mind the fact that the spider is loose in the house, do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I meant to say earlier on, of just how, like, how the fuck is this kid still alive? And the parents are like, la la la, this is fine. Like, fuck off. What's your let's go moment of the film?
Oh, it's classic one's got to be the montage, isn't
that's
it?
What I've got, the montage of Kevin setting up the gaff.
Yeah, it's 100%. Got to be the a montage in any movie is always a let's go, like,
absolutely.
That's a given, surely.
Absolutely, absolutely. What's your favourite scene?
Mine's just a bit where, so it's the start of the wet bandits try to break in.
Yes.
And he shoots them.
Yes.
And it's Joe Pesci just muttering. That shit gets me.
His mumbling is so funny.
Yeah. And he's, what is it, hanging shouts? He's armed in there. Oh, fucking idiot, man. What about you?
I'm the same as you. Like, see just the whole bit, like, with the traps and stuff, but it's the one of, like, Marv getting scalped with the bricks. It's his fucking face, man, every time cracks me up. And then I've got as well just Joe Pesci's fucking mumbling is so funny.
That must have been hard for him not to... Like, especially the way he acts, like, you know, like, he's a very sweary person.
Yeah.
To try and keep it clean.
I've actually got a bit about that and useless information. I'll dive into useless information.
Jump into him.
So, there's an internet theory that Kevin McAllister grows up to be Jigsaw in the Saw franchise. And I could see it. I can see it. Obviously, the theory goes into... a lot more of like, oh, this trap is actually the trap it's a more juvenile version of the trap in Saw 4 and all that. I'm like, why? And do you know what I mean? Like, somebody's actually sat and thought about this. I just seen it on the internet and thought it was funny. Joe Pesci deliberately avoided Macaulay Culkin on set so that he would think Joe was mean and nasty. And apparently Macaulay Culkin just was there, so he was just like, anymore. Joe Pesci is obviously used to a script full of profanity.
Uh-huh.
He was advised to say fridge instead of fuck. So whenever he's mumbling under his breath, it's all just like different words that mean swear words.
Ah, okay.
I just lied, like, there's loads of them, man. I was howling. But no, yeah, so I guess, like, there's a couple of bits where it's like fridge.
Yeah.
Joe Pesci and Dan Stern didn't think this movie would be a success, so intentionally gave way over the top performances, saying later on, well, even if the film flops, at least we had fun. And I'm like, fair. But I also think it works because they're so over
the top.
Little
do they know that helped the movie.
It makes it, do you know what I mean? Like,
you couldn't do it any other way, I don't think.
Nah, yeah. How in the realism method accent are you going to get slapped by a brick and not be like, ah, la, la.
I'm
John Candy filmed his part in 23 hours and improvised his entire section. He was the only actor who was allowed to go off book and improvise.
Makes sense.
Him and John Hughes were like pals. Like, he'd just came off of like... Uncle Buck and Planes, Trains and Automobiles. And there's also another thing that they think, I've never seen Planes, Trains and Automobiles. Apparently it's very good. But apparently this is like his character in that, like, kind of thing.
Oh, right, okay.
Allegedly,
okay.
It's not like confirmed, but. Also, I thought you quite like this one, right? So according to IMDb, this movie is considered a traditional Christmas movie in Poland. It has aired every Christmas on national television since the film's release in 1990. In 2010, TV executive chose not to broadcast it that year, and due to 90,000 people protesting, it was given back its spot on the prime time. I did confer with our Polish source, hello Veronica, and she did say hands down it's a staple. Like, you can't have Christmas at Home Alone. I was like, fucking class. I just love that as well, like, Poland specifically is like, this is ours. Like, fuck off.
Who's stupid enough to decide not to put it on?
Do you know what I mean? Last year's Christmas telly was shite. There was like nay good movies or nothing. I'm like, that's the point of Christmas, get a good films on. Yeah. John Hughes was worried that mothers would never believe that they could leave a child alone, so he made a detailed notebook of every scenario and how it would be possible to leave your kid. Which is funny when you look back on it, because it is all just like accidents, but it's carelessness, you know, like, and obviously if there hadn't been a second one, you could just be like, oh well, this is just the fumble of the century of being a mom. But like, once is an accident, twice is neglect, you know.
I mean, the thing is, it could all have been solved with a final headcount after mom.
100%. If the adults became like decided to parent for 5 minutes,
bother their asses. Yeah,
also the fact that I never brought up when we were ranting about the parents, they leave all the kids unsupervised in coach. Well, they're all in first class.
Getting leathered.
See if I was a passenger on that and you had like 15 fucking wains screaming and bawling. Oh, you go after nuts.
Oh, you would be going fucking ballistic.
The ornaments Marv steps on were all boiled candy. He advised it did still hurt, even though it was sweet.
Oh, would die.
He did the John McClane Die Hard thing of wearing rubber soles on his feet, like, so he's not actually barefoot. The original composer backed out at the last minute. Hughes and Columbus joked about wanting John Williams, but never thought they'd be able to get him. But when Williams saw the first cut of the movie, he was enchanted and stepped in immediately.
Good.
Love that. The Playboy that Macaulay Culkin looks at was actually sellotaped together so that Macaulay wouldn't see any actual nudity. I was like, that's nice. Good to know.
Yeah, that would have been weird.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Chris Columbus sold Steven Spielberg. Oh no, I've just read this again and I've just realised this is going to add to your Steven Spielberg hate, right? So, Christopher Columbus sold Steven Spielberg the rights to his script Gremlins and The Goonies, citing that his career probably would have been more successful if he'd made them on his own. His success did not come in until after this movie, which then led him to Mrs. Doubtfire and all that kind of good stuff. But I'm like, if you wrote Gremlins and The Goonies and were like, there you go, Spielberg. Do you know what I mean? Like, fuck you, Spielberg, man. He's back at it again.
You know what? I need the cash.
Yeah.
That is the only reason you would give up.
I hope he gets like royalties, do you know what I mean? Like,
probably not. Yeah. If he's just wrote it, if he's Spielberg sold the just gave him it, he's just gave him straight up money for it. Better been a lot.
Aye, better been a good bung, aye.
Like, I'm sure Chris Columbus is doing alright for himself.
I wish we had more time in December to do more Christmas movies, because Gremlins is a shite. Whatever we do this year, we won't do next year.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Kelsey Grammer was originally supposed to play Uncle Frank, but had to decline due to filming schedules. I'm assuming Frasier, do you know what I mean?
That'd have been weird.
Yeah, I don't want to see Kelsey Grammer be a dick. Apparently he's a dick in real life, and that's too much for me, you know?
No, that's enough, aye.
Robert De Niro turned down the role of Harry, but suggested Joe Pesci. Thank you, De Niro.
Oh, could you imagine if it was Pesci and De Niro?
Fuck off.
That'd be fucking...
No, like, could just you imagine?
Come and have Goodfellas.
Yeah.
The both of them just absolutely fucking top-notch. I might be wrong, but I think Pesci got the Academy Award for Goodfellas.
I think so, yeah.
Imagine that, doing that, then just fucking...
Home Alone.
We're making a sweet Christmas. But you're working with Scorsese, really going for it. Then, a wee Christmas family movie, let's do it. That'd have been brilliant.
I'd watch that version.
Oh, fuck, I...
Christopher Lloyd turned down the role of Marv, but there was no reason as to like why he did it, or not that I could find, you know. normally it's those pesky scheduling conflicts.
Aye.
I also couldn't find anyone else who was up for the other roles. Like, I think a lot of the other actors had already worked on, like, John Hughes projects before, so he's just been like, "Mon with me."
Yeah.
But there was loads for Peter McAllister, the dad. So Michael Douglas, Dan Aykroyd, Arnold Schwarzenegger,
nah,
John Travolta, Mel Gibson, and Sean Penn all auditioned and were considered for the role of Peter McAllister.
God, that is some group of people.
Do you know what I mean? Just turn around for this prick. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Who's in it for, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's been in other things, but I genuinely only know him as the Daffy Home Alone. I've actually never seen him in anything else.
I think he was big back then because he was in Beaches and that, according to my research.
Oh my God.
I.e. Wikipedia.
Yeah. Beaches is one of those ones I've been told I would love and I've always meant to get round to it. But do you know that way when you finally sit down and you can watch any movie you want, you forget the movies you want to watch?
Yeah, yeah. No, I got you.
This is going to be one of those ones, but I'm going to get like a text off Ainsley being like, "What do you mean you've never seen Beaches?" And I'm like, "I'm sorry." I'm sorry. And like, I think it was her that told me, like, "Oh, you would love Beaches." And I'm pure like, "All right, no bar." And do you want to dive in, eh?
Yes, right. Do you want to go first or me go first?
How many have you got? I've only got two.
I've got three, but it's all kind of goes around the same thing.
Right. Well, if we are sharing that brain cell again, I think mine's going to be on yours.
You go first then.
I think asking a 10-year-old to pack their own suitcase is fucking ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Like, what do you mean you're not packed? Like, I understand yous are busy and yous are mobbed, but come on now. Do you know what I mean? Like, what is a 10-year-old going to pack that's going to be useful for a fucking trip in Paris? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, the fact that none of you are packed the day before a long haul flight.
Yeah, the night before it, yeah.
No, that is pure anxiety, man. That is just pure stressful. Especially because there's that many of you.
Uh-huh.
And none of yous are organised. Yous are all just fannying about. Like, it's the night before, babe. Like, why? Yeah. Like, if you know, and that, I'm such a bad traveller. And not in like I hate travelling, but like, I'm like overly organized for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've got my bags packed like the week before. Do you know what I mean? But like, if you know there's hundreds of yous, airports are stressful enough, just like two of you, you know? I couldn't imagine going with a group of 15. Like, if you know your day is going to be even more stressful, why are you waiting until the last fucking minute?
Yeah.
And then the same thing happens in the second movie. They're just a really disorganized family and it stresses me the fuck out.
Oh, that's terrible. That's a shambles.
Honestly. Right, last one and then take it away, Ross, right? So maybe I'm looking at this from a 2024 lens, right? But know how when she phones from the airport to the police and is like, "I have a son who's home alone, da-da-da." The police goes to the door, bangs the door 3 times, but doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, isn't like, "Kevin, it's me." Like, do you know what I mean? Like, your mom phoned or something. There's no effort to, like, put this child who is home alone at 8 years old at ease, you know? And then they bang 3 times. Obviously, you're not going to go to the door. And then they're like, "She's talking shite."
Yeah.
Fuck off. Right, sorry, Ross, take it away.
This is my thing that kind of fits in reels, but I kind of, see, as soon as you said that, it tweaked to me. Is
uh-huh.
It, he met, was it Harry, dressed as a police officer? So maybe he's, do you know, you've said that, that's tweaked to me. Right. Like, so mine's might be shit now.
No.
Maybe. So why, he never mentions his age to the police.
She's on the
at
phone.
At no point. She says my child, that could mean anything. Could mean that could be an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So why is she not bringing that home? Is it he's 8 years old?
Yeah.
Like, he's there himself. We are in another country.
Yep.
Like, you have to be there.
Yeah.
Then
fucking house.
Then when he checks and sees that nobody answers the door, like, that door be booted in.
100%. 100%. They are so nonchalant. Like, see, for, like, knowing that their kids is, like, in another country alone, and she's just like, "Why is there my aunt?" Like, she's moaning at the wrong things and then taking her guilt rage out on fucking everybody else. Yes. And it's like, it's all down to you, Catherine O'Hara, my man. Like, you fucked this shit.
Yeah.
The baby.
So my other ones is about the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously at the beginning, when they're leaving for the airport, it tells you, like, the guy can take a couple of days to get fixed.
Yeah.
but he can still order pizza through the phone. It's very inconsistent.
Oh, yeah.
And so if he can do that, the phone line must be working.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, so she only phones once.
Yeah, it's
if true. If that's your, like, if your kid, you're in another continent.
Yeah.
You're phoning every minute. 100%. Every chance you get. Or absolutely. If you're not doing it, you're getting your husband or one of your other kids that are there. Well,
the husband phones the neighbour, doesn't he? Leaves a message on the neighbour, and that's how the wet bandits know that he's home alone. But, like...
You're constantly phoning that, though. Like,
totally.
There's no way.
And all, like, the siblings, cousins, aunties and uncles are not in a rush to, like, keep phoning, you know? Yeah. Like, and the time that Catherine O'Hara's on the phone to the police, she's gave the auntie her address book and been like, phone every cunt.
Yes.
Like, get everybody phoned and make sure my Wayne's all right. And, like, she's on the phone to the police 10 minutes, if that, and the auntie comes back and goes... answer machines. Did she not leave a message? Like, did you leave a message? Like, if the dad can leave a message on the neighbor's answer phone, like, he just says, oh, we're away for this couple of days. I don't think he says, oh, Kevin's up the road, but he says, oh, we're away for a couple of days. Like, why are you not leaving messages on family who live nearby being like, by the way, Kevin's in his cell, gonna someday nip round, or like, can Kevin stay at yours? Like, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, like, they're still.
They're so flazzy, Dad. They are too flazzy, Dad.
And I understand it has to be for the film.
No,
right?
No.
That's
listen,
fair. Movie logic. In. Like, let it file right in. But, no. Urgency. Like, if that was me, I'd be shitting myself.
Absolutely.
I'd be phoning everybody. You can't tell me they don't have pals.
No.
Like, everybody's away for the holidays.
Yeah. Why is everybody in your street away for Christmas? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like, why are you going away at Christmas? Stay in the house, you fucking idiot.
And to fuck off. Yeah, like, can he no phone his work? Like, be like, oh, can any
can
of you...
Can somebody do me a favour,
yeah,
aye?
Like,
I need the biggest
round.
Of favours.
Yeah.
And so my second one, although I've just kind of debunked it with what I said to you about he's seen Joe Pesci as the police officer.
Right.
Why didn't Kevin just call the police?
But then you're saying because...
If he's seen him, it could... Like, he's eight, his resources is... An 8-year-old kid.
Yeah, of course.
So but I debunked two of mine straight away.
He phones the police, obviously, when he's caught them. Do you know what I mean? He's like, oh, my house is getting robbed. But no, I get you. Like, if he thinks Harry's a police, he's not going to phone the police.
But it's even, like, just popped out of my head there. See, once they do capture them, why is nobody going to check on him? Like, they just don't give a shit about this kid.
Honestly.
The neighbour. Like, is there?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's obviously saying that he's home alone.
Yes.
Yet, he just fucks off back to his house.
Yes.
How? Like, what normal person does that?
This is the thing, man. This is the thing is, like, I worry that we are coming at this from, like, an anxiety helicopter parenting standpoint,
no,
you know?
There's a difference about being worried about, like, your kid and child safety and that.
Yeah.
That's fair, but you're at the other, like, you're in another country.
Yeah, a different continent, mate. Yeah,
see, if he was 15... You'd be like, oh, that this is
this
we're
is,
fucked.
Yeah, we've done
15.
A boo-boo, but he's going to be
if
fine.
8 years old, it was like, no. Like, you can't be that chill about it. Surely
no.
Not. Like, I don't care what decade or generation you're in. Like, you don't leave 8 year old. You can't leave him for weeks.
No.
At Christmas as well? Nah, get fucked.
Savage bastards.
It's just baffling to me. And I understand, as I've said, it's a movie plot to do it. I mean, the plot of this is weak, but it's you're not here for
doesn't
the plot.
Matter,
you're here for all the fucking shenanigans and Joe Pesci getting his head set on fire.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That is it.
Do you know what Joe Pesci mumbling in this movie reminds me of? Is, do you know, in Muppet's Christmas Carol, where it's like, light the lamp, not the red, light the lamp, not the red. Like, that's what Joe Pesci reminds me of in this.
Yeah, so that's mine, but... Aye, cool.
Yous are all fucking terrible parents, and the fact that this happened multiple times is a riddy. Because I don't even know for three, I've only seen one and two, I don't know for three and four if it's still Kevin but a different actor, or if it's a whole new guy altogether. But, like, once is an accident, twice is neglect, you know? Like,
oh, fuck aye.
Like, the fact that social services have not been at their door.
No, it's a different family, I believe. And the third one, then did they not do a one recently?
Yes, they did. It was like a whole new thing, but apparently it was dreadful. I never watched it.
Yeah, it's going to be dreadful.
Yeah. We've changed best kill, worst kill to best trap, worst trap. What have you got?
So my best one is the Iron Trap. Yeah. The arm coming down, like, gutting him off the head.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, it's just class.
I've got a set in, like, basically everything that happens to Harry.
Yeah. He gets it rough, man.
He gets his hand burned, then his head set on fire, then finally gets in the gaff, runs into saran wrap of super glue, and then gets feathers chucked at him. Yeah. Like, that whole sequence there, bellissima. Do you know what I mean?
So what's your worst one?
I've just got Marv putting his feet through the nails. Like,
that's what I've got.
It's not inventive. It's just painful. Do you know what I mean? Like
that. You're generally causing proper harm to somebody.
Yeah, that would just suck. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, the rest of them, yes, will be sore, but, like, they're funny. Do you know what I mean?
Those ones are funny, but a nail with the foot, like, that's no joke, man.
I know.
We watched A Quiet Place. That's fucking, and that's stucky.
She had to have a nail through her foot and be quiet about it. Yeah. Fuck that.
That's just rough.
Who is your worst guy whose hairline's receding?
Oh, fuck, it's got to be Frank.
Yeah, what a prick.
Seriously, if Frank spoke to my kids, that anybody spoke to my kid, I'd be like, who are you?
Aye, who are you talking to?
Like, gonna come a bit closer and say that to
yeah,
me?
Yeah.
Didn't quite catch that. You apologising to my kid, though.
What's that? I'm paying for your holiday, but you're going to speak to my kid like that? Fuck off.
Yeah, I'd rip his tickets up.
100%. Oh, look at that, Frank. You're staying home. I was between Uncle Frank or Buzz, but, like, Buzz is a dick, but he's just, like, an older brother dick.
Okay, aye.
Whereas Uncle Frank is a grown-ass man.
Yeah, he should know better.
Is pure disrespect in this way, you know?
Yeah.
Who's in a different movie? I didn't have anybody.
I don't have one. I mean, maybe John Candy, but it's not really. Like,
yeah, like, I mean, I think anybody could have done the John Candy role. Do you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't need to be a specific John Candy thing. Yeah.
But because it's him who's in it, it makes it that. I don't have anyone. Nah.
And it's not like that's a scene you can cut because she needs to get back to Chicago.
She needs to find a way to get home, so it makes sense to have him.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're going to have anybody in it, may as well have had John Candy.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Do you have an I'm out?
No.
I do, but it's only a tiny bit.
Oh, controversial.
I know. So, and again, it's the point, right? So, like, the bit that I'm out, and when I say I'm out, this is like I'm out in italics, do you know what I mean? Where, like, I'm only kind of half-arsed. But from when he speaks to Santa, and he's like, I know you're not Santa, but I know you work for Santa. Please tell Santa to give me my family back. To then when he goes to the church and speaks to the gritter before it kicks in and he has to run home and get the trap. And I think that bit for me, I obviously understand you need that bit because it's him being like, oh, I don't want to do this by myself. I do miss my family.
Facing his fears and that, yeah.
And him facing his fears, getting ready to set the trap. And obviously, like, he's like, oh, I wished I didn't have a family now. I wish they were back.
Yeah,
so I understand it needs to be in there. But I'm like, you could, like, if you had to tell someone, like, when to go to the toilet in Home Alone, I'd probably say that bit. But again, it's an I'm out in italics. Like, I'm not a hard I'm out. Do you know what I mean?
I feel you could see if they could add more of the wet bandits in it. For that, I would take it.
Yeah.
But no,
yeah.
I'll give you that. No, I'm with you on that one.
But I'm like, on it, like, it's not even that deep. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I've got you on that. Aye. Nice. No, I'll give you that.
Right, guys, thank you so much. This has been our Home Alone episode. Next week is the last Christmas episode and the last episode of the year.
Of the year.
So we'll see you next week for the, I don't want to say grand finale, but, you know, the finale. Cheers, bye!
Bye!